All right, everybody. Hello and welcome back. It feels like it's been a very, very long time since I last live stream. It's been about 2 weeks. I'm sure as everybody hopefully saw between Facebook, Twitter, everywhere else, the old lady popped out our little girl. It's been a hell of a week. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a learning curve, nothing too unexpected. And I got to say, a lot of the parents I've talked to, they kind of hype it up a little bit more than it is, and they try to get you all scared and stuff. But nah, life is good. Life is really, really good. So I was really, really stoked that my guest could kind of find time in the schedule to come on back on the show today. I'm very, very excited to talk to him about, you know, the kid stuff. We messaged back and forth quite a bit. So, but of course, there's been ongoing developments all throughout the world. The Trump-Putin summit, which still seems to be ongoing. There's not exactly any clear sign of what's going to happen next, at least not as I've seen it. Gaza is to be occupied as well. There was a video where Netanyahu was saying some stuff that kind of sounded like, hey, that 12-day war that was so great may not be over. We'll discuss that and much more. But before we all do that, please make sure you go to all the links below where you can find my guest, everything he's got going on. And of course, I started Substack as well. So find The Great Megalodon on Substack to just hear about strictly heavy metal. If you're into that kind of stuff, it's just no culture war, no politics, just all music stuff. That's my new passion project. So make sure you go check that out. And of course, Tiger Fitness through the link below. Use code Kyle at checkout. And without further ado, guys, let's rock and roll.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And welcome back to the show, my dear friend, Nico House. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Congratulations once again. I do got to say two things. First of all, looking at you doing them squats, boy, my knees started crying just now. Lord, baby. I'm a lunge dude now. I can't do the squats no more, dog. I can't do, you know, I'm a lunge guy, but nah. And I agree. I feel like there are some parents that kind of hype up that initial baby stage a little bit too much to scare them. But I think it's because, like, it's for a lot of those parents are usually younger, and whenever they aren't like the center of their own world, and they actually have to, because, you know, there is something that you do learn once you do have a baby. Like, all of a sudden, you don't actually get to just stop thinking. Like, you don't get to just like, I'm gonna just turn off. I'm just gonna turn it off for a little bit. Just gonna not think about anything. No, that doesn't work like that anymore. But it's not as hectic and crazy as you think for the first couple months. It's like around like 8 or 9 or 10 months that things start getting crazy, but. It's for different reasons. It's because your baby's trying to drive you crazy on purpose. It's a
they're pushing all the boundaries to make sure that you know, the old man and the mama will hold up okay. So yeah, like I remember everybody saying like, oh my god, you're gonna not sleep at all. And my wife's sitting here sending me like Snapchats all day. She's like, yeah, we're napping.
Yeah. Couple hours
later, yeah, she's still out. A couple hours later, she's like, yeah, we're sitting here listening to Pantera. She's dozing off, but she looks happy. And then about 20 minutes, yeah, she's out again.
After, like, in the beginning, oh man, that first 3 weeks, I was happy as I'm like, damn, man, I'm getting more naps in since the baby's born than I got before. And to be now, like, after, you know, he didn't nap as often, but like in those first couple of months, because the baby's obviously growing, people forget like the baby has to sleep to grow. So basically, as soon as they eat, they be ready to go to sleep. And once they go to sleep, you better get that nap in while you can. Because it ain't going to be like 2-3 hours. It'd be like a solid three or four hours that my baby would nap throughout the day. And you can get a lot of stuff done if you, you know, have a good schedule and a good routine. You just got, like I said, it's just one of those things where your routine does change. And I feel like that's actually what causes people to freak out. People who are not used to having a routine that revolves around somebody else. But like I said, if you're in a good partnership with your spouse, if y'all have good communication, if you're supportive of one another, those first couple of months are actually pretty smooth. It's just like the you know, day to day, or going to the appointments and things like that, that can kind of like throw you off a little bit. But the baby itself, like, it was actually really fun. We had like a lot of fun and it was cute. And we always said every day, like, man, I will say, like, there was like a couple of nights where he would wake up in the middle of the night. But other than that, like, even those nights, we're like, I know I'm complaining right now. That's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm just like balancing him and watching TV. But I'm going to be so upset and sad whenever like this is over.
Yeah, dude, same exact way. So my wife woke me up at, I want to say it was about 4 a.m. on Sunday. And I'm normally up around like anywhere from 4 to 5 in the morning anyways. So, and like, I think most people, my wife is very, very well adjusted, very calm. And I think like most people like, oh my God, the kid just shit everywhere. It's all over me. You need to get up now. But I, you know, she slowly opens the door. My dogs get up and they're all excited to see her because, you know, we're sleeping in different rooms. And she was like, can you get up and help me clean this up? She kind of pooped everywhere. And I like spring out of bed and I'm going to get, she's like, oh, hold on. You don't have to like run. I'm like, well, you woke me up. So like, I don't think it's emergency now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, right. And now you woke me up because you don't usually wake me up for this type of stuff. Yeah, no. That's funny because we did not have that happen until like 2 months in. That was the first time we had the, oh shit, he shit everywhere. But that was like, but the problem, see what happened was we changed his diaper. We were changing his diaper. No, we took his diaper off to give him a bath. And this asshole shit in the bathtub. Like, as like, we're like, she was like transitioning him from the bed to the bathtub, or like, they call it a bañero. It's like a little, basically, it's like a little tub for babies, basically.
Yeah.
And he was shitting in the transition. I'm like, bro, are you for real? He's like, well, yeah, I gave y'all such a break for these last couple of months. I felt like I should challenge y'all a little bit. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've kind of had a few of those moments where I'm like, this is going pretty smooth. I want to say it was probably Monday. I was like, yeah, man, she's sleeping so much. It's so awesome. And just like for half that day, just fucking cried her eyes out. I was like, all right, yeah, I guess that's what I get. And my wife said the same thing. She's like, you had to say something. I was like, I knocked on wood. I did what I could. That was all I could do at that point.
That's the first thing you learn is like, bro, the first time, like you learn like, oh man, I can't, don't ever be like, oh man, I can't believe he's being so calm. I can't, like, we, so my son has had this habit since he was like 10 months old of moving chairs to climb on top of tables. And when we, yeah, oh no, it's a whole thing. Yeah. So, oh no, there was one time when he moved the stair, moved a chair. Cause we moved like the table so he couldn't get to it. So what he did was he moved the chair to get close to the stairs to get on top of the table. Cause it was by the stairs at that point. I'm like, bro, you are wilding. So we got to the new house and we have this nice table that we got for the dining room. And my wife goes, wow, at least Lachesis hasn't tried to climb on top of the new table. I said, why would you say that? Because it had been like a week and some change. And he hadn't even, and I know, I'm like, and you said it in front of him. She said it in front of him. And bro, that same night, he looks around. And I'm like, I'm watching him. I'm just like, watch this motherfucker do this. I know he's about to do it. He thinks I'm not looking because I'm like around the corner. And he picks up he grabs a chair from the kitchen, bro. He just turned him 1 year and 5 months. He grabbed a chair from the kitchen, grabs that bitch, puts it in front of the table, bloop, bloop. And I'm like, and what are you about to do, guy? And he's like, halfway up there, like, nothing. Like, got to get that. He starts laughing, a little sinister ass laugh. I'm like, I told you, why would you say that? And now every day has been a battle trying to keep him off the table. Mm-hmm. We had to remove all the chairs. Like, we just got to keep playing in different rooms.
Yeah, go get like a strap or something. Just put it like right above his reach.
Man. Yeah, it's hard. So my son has this weird thing where he observes. And if you do anything in front of him, like, he picks it up. Like, so for example, even though he shouldn't be able to open doors yet, he opens doors when he feels like it. He knows he's not supposed to if we close it. But like, just like, for example, before we started the stream, we have actually a door. We made sure to get a house that actually has a door to the kitchen instead of just an open kitchen. Cause he likes to just go in the kitchen and fuck shit up. So he realized that, oh no, like, dad's not coming back. He's like screaming, but his mom will open the door. So this motherfucker just opens the kitchen door. And I'm like, dude, who just let him out the kitchen? And then opens my door to the office. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait for his mom to come behind him. Nope, it's just him. It's just him. I'm like, who? When did you learn how to open these doors? Like, he's like, well, you did it one too many times in front of me. That's what that's what happened, man. He learned, bro. He turned on my computer like 2 days ago. Just he walked straight to my office and didn't do that. You know what babies do, that thing where they're like, oh, I'm gonna just touch random stuff to figure out. Yeah. No, he didn't do that. He walked straight to my office, said, beep, turned it on. I said, oh no, this is too much. This is too much, bro. You're doing the most. So he's in that phase, man, where he's just like observing everything. And that's like where it gets crazy for you, because you realize you cannot take your eyes off of them. Luckily, he has an older brother. Your situation is a little bit different. Yeah. You're going to be figuring out everything for the first time when it happens.
Yeah. There's a saying that I like to say. It's leap and grow wings on the way down. That's going to be kind of one of those situations. And like I'm looking at all these guitars in here. I think I have 8 guitars. 7 or 8
Yeah,
guitars.
Go ahead and minus about 2 or 3 of them. Go ahead and just take, just put it right here in your heart and soul. Just accept that all them 8 guitars ain't going to be there in about 1.5 years. It's going to be about 2 or 3 of them babies that's going to be gone.
Yeah, I foresee her walking into something. A friend of mine, Tommy, who I think you and him would actually get along really, really well. He was telling me, like, you don't realize like how much stuff around your house a kid could just get completely fucked up on. Until you have a kid, and then you're like, oh yeah, like that doorknob right there, they just like busted their lip on it. And you think we would all remember this kind of stuff. When I was a kid, my older brother had shoved me down the stairs, and like, you know, the finish on the walls, it was like real spiky. I tumbled down the stairs and it cut the back of my head, and I had to get stitches on the back of my head. And like something like that, now it's like, oh yeah, obviously don't like face plant on the wall, but as a kid, you're just fucking around, and the next thing you know, oh yeah, you're going to the hospital because you just bit through your lip.
Yeah, you know, like it's crazy. Like I had to tell my wife, I have my goddaughter. My goddaughter is about 2 months older than my son. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell his parents sometimes. So I'm like, hey guys, kids fall. Like they're way more malleable than we are. They gonna be all right. Cause if as a parent, especially as a new parent, like if you freak out and are worried about your kid hurting themselves all the time, you're gonna drive yourself insane. Yeah. Like you're gonna do your best, but your kid's gonna fall. But also, it's okay if your kid falls if they learn from what happened. Because, I mean, that's kind of life. That is life. And even in the early stages of their lives, they're still learning how to fall and get back up. My son decided to try and leap from his crib to the bed one time. He figured out that he is not Spider-Man. What's funny is he cried, but it was for like 15 seconds. Like, he wasn't crying because he probably hurt himself. It was like a little shock effect. But the reality was he was crying because he failed. That's really what happened. I picked him up like, bro, you all right. I checked his head, make sure he was good. He fell on his back. I picked him up. He looking at me like, damn, dad, can't believe I didn't make it. But guess what? He didn't do that shit again. But he had to learn the hard way. So it's like my goddaughter, unfortunately, she fell on our barbecue this past weekend. Or not this past weekend, the weekend before. Man, she fell about 4 or 5 times. Bro. Because we have like the barbecue space has like a little step. It's like this. Yeah. And now my son fell 1 time while he was running, got up and was like, oh, can't do that shit again. That's a little bit higher than what I'm used to. My goddaughter, on the other hand, yeah, she fell 1 time and like kept doing it. And I'm like, because she was able to like the stairs or like the little step to get into the back to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Is like smaller. So she was assuming that it was the same height over and over again. Yeah. And like my son's looking at her like, hey, Agatha, what are you doing? Like, because he's getting on his stomach and hitting that little slide. He got a little backslide that he does again. He's like, bro, you ain't learned from the first time you busted your ass. Mm-hmm. You better hit this little. And he's even trying to show her. Like, he gets down and starts showing her, like, hey, it's like this. And she like lays down, gets back up, takes another step and falls. I'm like, oh no, this is going to be a long night. So, but I guess what? I bet you the next time she come back over, she's gonna make that mistake.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I'm trying to start to discern as well, and this kind of relates to what you were just saying, is that like you got to know how your kid's crying, because like people have said that with infants, you can even tell like when it's for attention, when it's for comfort, when they're hungry, when you know they shit themselves or whatever. Now, obviously, like for an infant, it's we're still trying to figure this out, but like. I've started to notice with other kids now, like, oh, they just want attention. Like they're not actually hurt. They don't need anything. They just want your attention. And You and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. Like, how do you walk this fine line of like, yeah, you obviously want to, you don't want to neglect your kid, but if you give them attention every single time they cry, then what do you just teach them? If I act like an asshole, I get attention. That feels good. So I'm going to continue to do that because it's gotten me what I want.
Exactly. That is so true, man. Cause my son does this thing. First of all, my son, so he's such an asshole. His fake cries ain't even that convincing, which be pissing me off. Cause it'd be like, he don't be trying. He'd be like, and then he stops. Then he looks at me to see if I'm like reacting. And I'm looking at him like, bro, for real? Like, so then he tries to, nah. I'm like, you're not even going to shed a tear? Like, I'm not even worth a tear. Like, but if you don't get out of my face, then he's like, man, whatever. He just turns around and walks away. I'm offended that you thought that was going to work. But then like, there is that follow. Whenever they're like crying, cause they need something, like, you know, when something happened, right? Cause when I tell you, it's like the energy shifts in the room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they need, like, no, I'm letting you know something just happened. I don't know what's going on and I need your help. And you can feel it as a parent. My oldest son knows, like he'll run to the other room if he hears something. And like because there was like one time, for example, my son was playing in the kitchen. He opens a cabinet. He shut the cabinet. So the cabinets have like these little latches on them that we put on there. So we couldn't get into it. See, what happened was my wife opened one of the latches in front of him one time. He figured out how the latches like the next day. So, yeah. But he didn't do it in front of us. He waited until we weren't paying attention, opened the latch, opened the cabinet, and then shut his finger in the cabinet.
Oh.
Yeah. So like he's screaming and we're like, oh shit, no, something happened for real. And like my son gets up and runs because he realized like, oh, this isn't like Lodge just crying for attention. So he's hurt. And so you can tell the difference. It's a nuanced and subtle difference, but you know, it is a fine line to walk. But when that you got a daughter. So like that attention cry, you're gonna have to be careful because they better at it. The daughters are better at it than the boy.
Yeah.
With daddy, with the moms, the mom, man, you don't get out of my, you're gonna have to convince her that there's something wrong. With dad, I'm just gonna assume that there's something wrong until I learn otherwise, because you baby girl, you the princess until you know.
Yeah. My wife shared a picture on Facebook and she's like, oh, you know, she's just like this little, the cutest girl in the world who loves listening to Pantera. Like, what more could you want? And I shared it afterwards and I was like, you know, I always heard from dads like, oh yeah, I'll kill somebody for my daughter. Like, it's no big deal. And I like sort of understood it, but didn't really. And then now like I'm holding my little girl and I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Like not anything twice. Like, my brother told me one time my brother had his son at 24. It was somewhat unexpected. And like maybe a year or two after, he said that, I can't have another kid. And I was like, what do you mean? Why not? Like, is it too much? He's like, no. It's just that I love my son so much that I would actually kill somebody for him. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't want to love anything like that ever again. That's actually a pretty dangerous space to be in. I'm like, huh? He's talking with a dead ass serious face. I'm like, yeah. What are you talking about? He's like, no, like I would actually kill somebody for Cam.
Yeah.
And he's like, just said this like that. I'm like, yeah, but it's your son. That makes it. No, I don't think you understand. Like, I don't care if he's right. I don't really care if he's wrong. I don't care what the motivation was for why the person did what they did to him. I would kill somebody for my son. And I don't want to be put in that position two times. I don't want to love anything that much ever again. I was like, yo. But then when I held my son for the first time, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, now I get it. Yeah, I get it. Like, get that. I was like, damn, because like, bro, I'm thinking right now, like, damn, I wish a motherfucker would walk up in here and try some of my goddamn son. But I'd be with my head on a swivel like this nowadays. Like, even he's older, walks by himself, and I'd be waiting for somebody to walk too close to him. Like, even my oldest son is like that with my, because he like, it's the first, he has a little sister that he isn't all that close to. This is the first time he has a sibling that he's like watched since he was born. And whenever somebody, for example, his cousin, I put his my son in the room to sleep. So his cousin wanted to stay upstairs and play because like he has a big old room and they stay in the same room. But my oldest son was like, no, we gotta leave. She was like, what? But I want to stay and play. Like, yeah, but they have another room downstairs they can play in. But she was like, I wanted to play and watch TV in here. He's like, no, Lodge just needs to sleep. And she's like, but I want to stay and play. Why can't we? Because you're going to wake him up and he needs to sleep.
I'm like, listening from the hallway, bro. Yo.
Laura, I was like, yo, Laura, like, he's right. Y'all got to leave. I just was waiting to see how he was going to handle the situation. But it's like, when you, that type of love, man, it's scary. It's scary to feel that strongly about another human being. Because you some, yeah, you feel that way about, you know, your wife, your partner. But you got to ask, like, hey, what'd you do real quick before I get myself involved in this? Let me just make sure that everything is cool. But yeah, with your kid, you're like, I don't really care if you're right or wrong. Like, if somebody steps to you the wrong way, I'm just going to, I'll figure it out afterwards. Like, you can talk, yeah. I can show ass out after I killed this motherfucker for it.
Yeah, it's literally shoot first, ask questions later. It's like, all right, well, what did, now what happened?
Exactly, exactly. Speaking of shoot first, have you been seeing what's going on in this DC situation, bro?
Okay, yeah, I'm actually glad you went there because I, to put my perspective out there, I was initially kind of neutral on it because I'm like, okay, well, if we can get homelessness and stuff like that at least cleaned up and not have drug addicts everywhere, I think that's a good thing. But like the manner in which we do it really matters too. You know what I mean? Like you can't just stick guns in people's faces and tell them like, hey, you got to go. Like I've caught some flack from people where I'm like, yeah, if you like, you can't go into a public park and like smoke crack or weed in front of kids. Like I think
well, that's like illegal regardless. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like if people are doing shit like that, okay. Yeah. I think that's fair to clean it up. But like, you look at what the Trump administration has done over, you know, ever since Trump really got elected. And it's just been like this constant Zionist technocratic crackdown on anti-Israel speech. And I'm, it's so funny being in my position because I try to talk to a lot of people that are like, I don't want to say my political opposite, but like more of like left leaning. So, you know, I, for lack of a better term, I guess like you, Misty, Savvy Sabs, like all these people that are more out of my particular realm of being like a right wing libertarian. And like it's so interesting because, like I said, I'm also with other right wing people too. And I keep getting told, oh, no, like trust the plan. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm having a little bit of a hard time on this one.
Yeah, I'm not a trust the plan kind of person. I've never been. Even with leftist politicians, I've never been. Like, whenever Bernie would step, like, so for example, there was like one time where he kind of was on this like, what, like the defending the 94 crime bill to some degree, like, okay, yeah, or at least like defending the drug war, even in its current state. And I'm like, oh, no. They're like, well, no, Bernie, no, we're not doing that. No, the drug war was bad in 94. It's still bad now. We don't get to just pretend like it's not because Bernie said, like, that's not how this works. That's called cultism. And I don't have any idols. God is my one guy. And I'm good with that. Okay. Other than that, everybody needs to show me the strategy and the methodology. Because like, so for example, right now in DC, and Savvy Sads actually did a great job of pointing this out on her show. I need to know why DC is your focus, first of all. Like, because, for example, crime has been reduced in DC since Trump's taken office. It's been reduced significantly. DC isn't even top 30 on the most on like individual crime basis. Like, they're not top 30, bro. Mm. Like, okay, so all, if you actually look at the list of the top 30 from the FBI, there's a reason that he doesn't mention the majority of those cities. It's because they're almost exclusively in states that voted for him. Mm. All the cities. It's like a bunch of Indiana, Illinois, Texas, North Carolina, Tennessee. So there's a reason he didn't mention those cities. So there's that. Oh, Michigan would be another one. So I'm like, okay, so what's the real motivation? Because it's one thing if you're saying we're going to ramp up police presence, because I actually do believe in preventative measures. Like, for example, I hate when cops like hide to catch people speeding. It's like, hold on, bitch, do you want me to not speed? Is it because it's dangerous, or are you trying to make money? Right? Because if I see a cop, I'm more than likely to drive slow. Right? Just like I don't really like conceal and carry as much. I personally believe that open carry should be like the standard, because I'm trying to, I don't want to use this motherfucker, but you need to know it's on me if I need to use it, right? So it's like that type of situation. So I don't have a problem with cops being active in a community if they're going to be active equally in the entirety of the community. But that's not what we're seeing happening. We're seeing the National Guard being called up. We're actually seeing for the first time in history, the FBI and the DC Metro Police patrolling together. The National Guard has been empowered with actually arresting people for the first time in history. And so now I got to think, okay, now what are the motives? What do you hope to achieve by this? Because crime rates were already actually falling before all this started. Now, obviously, there is the quote unquote, the distraction, because every time somebody brings up the Epstein files, this motherfucker just goes on another tangent about either crime or immigration, right? Yeah. Like,
or it's a Democrat hoax.
Yeah, or it's a Democrat, that which was insane. I'm like, oh, now it's a Democrat hoax. That's so wild, because literally everybody in your staff got brought on seemingly because of their desire to release these files, yeah, right? Like, but now it's a hoax. But okay. By the way, that whole Pam Bondi situation, you know, like Pam Bondi was the attorney general of Florida that when Epstein got that sweetheart deal, and no one talks about it. I'm like, yeah, this is the second time that you know, dude,
I keep watching this and I'm like, my position has always been, I don't know if Trump was legitimately doing bad stuff with Epstein. Like, it,
yeah.
But if he was, would it look any different? Would it look any different at this point? You know what I mean?
If, okay, so here's my thing with that. I don't know if you were actively involved in the pedophilia, but like, if you're protecting the pedophiles, then motherfucker, you're still as guilty.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, they don't care if you're doing anything, you're protecting them now. So the discussion of whether or not he's actually actively guilty of participating in any of the Epstein trafficking stuff is now irrelevant, because you're protecting the people that we could be holding accountable. And that's because you're one individual. Like, but you could actually help bring down a slew of individuals, and you're not assisting. In fact, you're trying to now gaslight us and call us crazy for even for pushing and asking for you to just keep the promise that you made. We didn't tell you to promise to release the goddamn files in the client list. You said you were going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but there's another angle with this, the National Guard, the FBI, and the police working together. One of the things that people have not connected for some reason, which is actually kind of surprising. Remember whenever this whole Palantir situation ramped up, what was the goal of the data collection? It was to streamline the data collection so that everything would be in one database and they could pick people off without having to go through the hurdles that you have to go through if you're going state to state, federal to municipal, et cetera, et cetera. This is the first time they're actually going there. I feel like this is a test run to see how effective the state, the federal, and the municipal authorities can work together to go after people using this database. I think that that's what's happening. And he's using the crime as an excuse, but he's not going to do it in states. He can't go after states that voted for him. He's not going to do it, because the Republicans then all of a sudden would probably start complaining. I'm not sure that every state that he would go after, like, for example, in Michigan, like, I don't know if their governments would approve it, because D.C. is unique, right? They have a mayor, but they're a district, they're a city. They don't have the same rights as states do. So, like, you get to run this test for Palantir, use crime as the excuse, and then turn around and pretend like you're doing something for the community. But in reality, the crime rates are already going down. You didn't have to do actually anything. Mm-hmm. There are obviously plenty of other methods to deal with the homelessness problem in DC, just generally speaking, but even in DC. And by the way, that big, beautiful bill was not one of those methods, and yet you still passed it, right? It probably is going to make the problem even worse. So, like, I feel like that's really what's going on. The same way we saw, for example, curfews tested during COVID. Mm-hmm. They're like, are they going to fight back? Are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? Because before, remember, it was the protests that led to the curfews. And then all of a sudden it was, well, we think that COVID might spread, so we're going to set an 8 o'clock curfew. Huh? That's not what y'all told us these curfews before. And it's like they just wanted to see if it would work. And they got away with it. So now Palantir is running their little test run, and the federal government is working alongside them. I know that that some local Democrats have complained just a little bit, but by and large, the Democrats aren't doing anything to fight them. Like, not legitimately. You know, they're calling him a fascist, but like the way he's going about this is actually unique. But I will say that the conservatives that are defending him, it's just like rich watching it, because I'm like, whenever Joe Biden did something similar to this, when he locked down the city after January 6th for like damn near a year. Oh, more than a year, because I went to the reunion, but basically it was like an anniversary type of situation, a little bit after January 6th, the following year, where they were actually bringing attention to the people that were being held without bail, without being given an arraignment, et cetera, to basically, and they were, and that group was working alongside a leftist group that basically advocates for the rights of prisoners. So like that, they were locked down even, the city was still locked down even then. So like, and y'all didn't have, y'all were complaining about that. And now that Trump's doing it, y'all are celebrating it as if this is really about crime. And it's not. Like, let's be honest. It's not about crime, because if it was just about that, you have the D.C. Metro Police and you have Baltimore Police that could help with that. And you have, Maryland Police that could help with that. And you also have Virginia Police that could help with that.
Right.
Like. Well,
and also you have, like you said, it's odd because there's so many other high crime ridden cities. And you would think, like you said, if this is about crime, then be cracking down on crime in all these different cities and finding different ways. Or like, in my mind, the libertarian solution is always like, we want to decentralize power. We basically want to give more power to the individual, right? So basically like, hey, you know, maybe more people can carry, you know, in localities or something like that. Or, you know, like businesses can have like, hey, we allow, you know,
open carry,
brandish, yeah, open carry or stuff like that. Or like, you know, we do severely punish crime around here. Like if you, you know, basically like we're trying to keep an orderly society. But yeah, to just do it in DC, it's like you said, it's almost like a test run. And now they just announced, they had like that weird eye software or whatever it was, where they're supposed to be able to like read people's eyes. I can't remember the exact thing, but to another point you were making earlier, it was funny because like, if all this stuff was going on under Joe Biden, and you heard about like, oh, the anti-trans bigotry all the time instead of anti-Semitism, and like, oh, Palantir is going to collect all this data, Alex Jones and all these people who are just constantly telling you that like Trump has a plan, they would be losing their minds because it's Trump
going crazy.
Oh, it's bro, like
the 94 crime bill. Remember how much the conservatives all of a sudden hated the 94 crime bill, especially this go around. It wouldn't stop reminding people that it was Joe Biden's baby. Right. And now all of a sudden, oh yeah, yeah, well, we don't care about that anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't care about abuse of power. Like, we don't care about abuse of authority. trust plan, crime is a problem. Like, I'm not one of those people who are gonna be like, yeah, like let crime be crime. But like, I am I'm a solutions-based individual, right? Like, we gotta recognize the actual problem, make sure that it is a problem, but then we need to find a solution that actually makes sense and is going to address that problem. Right. But what we're seeing is like people pretending. Now, I'm not saying that DC doesn't have crime, but like we also know why DC has crime. DC's crime is a poverty issue. This is well known. I mean, anybody who lived in, my friend lives in DC, and he was talking about like, bro, I live like in a one bedroom apartment. It's just $2,100 a month. Dog. And he's pretty, like, he does really well for himself. One bedroom apartment, $2,100 a month. Most people have roommates in DC because it's not livable. Most staffers don't live by themselves, or they live outside of DC, right? Like, so imagine you come up on hard times somewhere in the surrounding area. Well, where is a city where you can actually try to, you know, get some money, where there's going to be more tourists? It's DC. That's kind of how it works. They go to where the tourists are so they can make as much money as possible doing whatever they do. That's so the homeless problem is going to be prominent in that area. So instead of resolving the issues that cause the problem, we're seeing him like send out the National Guard. Like, what does a National Guard want to do? What do they know? What does a National Guardman know about law enforcement?
Probably not much.
Exactly. Like, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. If you actually think about it, because he's giving National Guardsmen the right to detain themselves, you think a National Guardman knows how to read Miranda rights?
No. Hell no.
Exactly. Like, you're going to end up causing more problems but the goal is really to see how easy this flow of information can be executed under this new Palantir thing. And and also, it just so happens that it's a really convenient excuse to not talk about Epstein.
Right.
That's my opinion.
It really seems like everything this administration has done and like the people who just will not give up the ghost here is just like gaslighting 24/7. So the other thing I wanted to talk about today, which kind of leads us in from the old topic, is the whole Ukraine situation, because it is mind boggling to me, the lack of people that are like, you completely failed on this. So we just saw about a month ago, right? Use the same methods that Joe Biden used to arm Ukraine. The Presidential Drawdown Authority sent $330 million worth of weapons to Ukraine. We were told as president-elect, he would do it. Now, I knew he was full of shit. I can't tell you how many people told me with a straight face, oh, no, he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll have it done immediately. Putin loves him. And now here we are, you know, 7 months later. And it's like, this was completely predictable, because if you ever heard him talk about how he's going to solve it, first of all, he never laid out a clear plan. And when he did kind of hint at a plan, he literally said, I'll give Ukraine more weapons. I'm like, oh, so we're just going to do what Joe Biden did and magically that's going to end the war.
Shocker. Yeah. Right. Like, yeah, just repeat. Oh, no. Do what Joe Biden did, but with more threats, actually. Against Putin. Like he would say, like, oh, you know, Putin respects strength. He respects me. So like, I would never have allowed this to happen. Like, bro, I really, if you've actually researched, like done legitimate research into Putin, I'm not talking about propaganda stuff. Like Putin, if I'm not mistaken, has a law degree. Okay. Yeah. Putin. Yeah. He has worked for military intelligence. Like, and just look at the world and look at Russia today. This man I know people joke about 4-5D chess and whenever somebody says that about Putin, that is not hyperbole. He is playing 5D chess, because when everybody enacted all these sanctions and thought they were going to crush Russia, Russia's economy is stronger now than it's ever been. And then when they were like, well, they were talking to the foreign minister, like, well, y'all have a chance to be reintroduced to the world's economy. He's like, oh, no, we're good. We don't even need y'all money. We're actually better off. Thank you. Like, bro. So what? When Trump comes out here and is like, yeah, I'm going to still try to play. First of all, he says he's going to solve the problem in 24 to 48 hours. I'm like, boy, you were wilding. That is not going to happen. Because Zelensky is a punk ass bitch and he's scared to sit in the same room as Putin. He is literally scared to sit in the same room as him. I once believed that it was like, oh, nah, he doesn't want to sit in the same room as Putin because the U.S. is disallowing him to, because they don't want any negotiations between the two. But now I'm realizing, like, no, actually, I genuinely believe he is scared, because he would be outmaneuvered, he would be intimidated, he would be out-strategized, and he will be forced to concede. Like, and he knows it. Because it's a whole different, like, you saw how angsty he got whenever he was just discussing this issue with Trump and J.D. Vance.
Well, yeah, and like, the one thing about that whole situation was so funny to me is that the entire time, up until about the last 10, 15 minutes, Trump was willing to give him everything. Yeah, security guarantees, arms, everything you could want. And it was Zelensky's own hubris when J.D. Vance just pretty much asked him, could you say thank you, that he lost his mind. It's like, okay, so now I'll sit down with Putin, who could tell you Russia's history. Granted, probably some of it's propaganda, but try sitting down with that fucking dude. Like, Trump, he's not a smart man by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. I'm sorry, but like, you look at Xi and you look at Putin, these guys are fucking geniuses. Like, they are leaders. They don't fuck around.
And there's an element, as a person who's bawling on myself, like, there's an element of like, there's nothing that's going to be misconstrued or mistranslated. Like, Zelensky's going to know exactly how Putin feels, and Putin's going to be able to speak to him straight. And Zelensky is going to be able, there's not going to be anything misconstrued, lost in translation, or anything like that. And like, you're going to be able to read Zelensky more whenever he's communicating in one of his primary languages, because he speaks Russian fluently. Actually, I have to believe that he was a Russian comedian before. He speaks Ukrainian, but he's Russian. So like, he can speak Russian fluently. And that whenever y'all, but like, two English speakers are sitting in the same room, it's not like when I'm debating Brazilians, like, there's a level of, like, not only lack of confidence, but I'm not going to be as confident in my delivery because it's my second language.
Right.
However, if I'm negotiating with an American, for example, it's a whole different ball game. Mm-hmm. And if they ever sat in the same room together, there's going to be cameras everywhere. It's going to be cameras. It's going to be reporters. And we're going to know, we're going to be able to get an actual sense of how the situation could end up. And it's not going to look good for Zelensky, in my opinion. But I will say that Trump has failed on this issue, because one of the first things he actually promised too was that he was actually going to get Putin and Zelensky to sit in the same room together. I don't know if you remember that, but like, that hasn't happened yet. Why are you going to Alaska to meet Putin? And why can't Zelensky be there? Why are you giving Zelensky assurances? Because he gave Zelensky and EU assurances that he will pursue a ceasefire. Even though he said that, he's like, hey, bro, whatever land shit I got going on, you got to talk to him about that. But like, yeah, my goal is a ceasefire, and then threaten Putin over this potential ceasefire, non-ceasefire, if he doesn't go along with Trump's demands for a ceasefire. How, bro, are you? This is not like a, I feel like sometimes like Trump thinks that being president is a video game. Like, you just like, maybe, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, man, you can just say what the fuck you want to, and because I could press the X button, this is gonna go down how I imagine it in my head. Like, no, Putin gonna tell you to fuck yourself.
I think that's kind of the way that Putin's been ever since Trump came back. And honestly, probably even under Joe Biden too, where it's just like, yeah, you could do whatever you want. Like, we're over here, we're Russia, we're doing well. If you guys want to send arms to Ukraine, hey, don't do that. But like, we're still going to clap those cheeks, dude. Like, we're doing whatever we want. Like, we don't, you could put whatever sanctions on us, we're fine, bro. And then, yeah, but now, you know, it's Trump's leveling all these threats. We'll do sanctions, we'll do this. And yeah. All right, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we're going to do sanctions on you. Yeah, meanwhile, the corporations are literally just creating the same, literally the same companies, and just changing the name to something Russian. Like, they don't call it McDonald's, they call it something else. Like, I was surprised at how many companies, how many corporations are still actively and openly operating in Russia. And the U.S., because they're owned by the corporations, can't even do shit about it. So it's like, what are you going to, when he announced more sanctions on Russia, obviously that was like partially to appease NATO, which, by the way, he also failed on. He said he was going to pull us out of NATO because he didn't like NATO. And all of a sudden, he's praising NATO. He said he was going to reduce
military spending.
Exactly. Like, bro, I can't think of really one thing that Trump has promised and had delivered on. And that's coming from a person that whenever, like, for example, he was able to broker peace, at least temporarily, between North Korea and South Korea, I'm like, yo, that's actually a big ass deal. Right. And that should not be taken lightly. This version of Trump is completely different than the version of Trump we got in 2016. Even with the flaws that he still had in 2016, like, this version of Trump is completely different. And we can blame it on donors. You know, I think that could be a part of it. I think that Steve Bannon not being an active part of his campaign this time is a big part, his administration is a big part of it. But I do believe that at the end of the day, bro, like, it's probably Zionist. Like, they just kind of like, hey, bro, so here's the deal. This is exactly how this shit's gonna go down. And in case you forgot, click, click, bang, bang. Like, it don't take nothing. Like,
yeah, you can take a car ride to Dallas.
It graze your ear. You know what I'm saying? Like, they was like, what, 2 assassination attempts in a month and some change? He's like, and y'all still ain't, and y'all really, in the suspicious way that the attempt happened, like, this kid who is like that whole situation was weird as shit. How he, like, appeared in a commercial beforehand with BlackRock? Yeah.
So the weird thing about that, though, it says my internet connection is a little shaky, so hopefully it's not too bad. But Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, is actually good friends with Trump. So like, people kept throwing that out there, like, oh my God, it's a conspiracy of BlackRock to kill Trump. I'm like, actually, this kind of goes to the people who would say it's staged. Now, do I think it was staged? No, it was literally like 45 minutes from my house. Like, I know exactly where that was. And like I said, this is kind of a feather in the hat for the guys who would claim that it was staged, because like, oh, so the CEO of BlackRock is good friends with Trump, and this spurgy looking kid manages to get up on a roof in the middle of Butler, which is in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, this field is nowhere. You could not.
Like, it looks like you're there. It's like, nowhere.
Yeah. So I got to think that these Zionists are kind of winning the administration over this, this time around, where it seemed like going in, you had a couple different factions. You had the Wall Street faction, so like your David Sachs, the big money guys, and like the PayPal mafia, those guys as well. You had the neoconservatives in the Israel lobby. Well, we see who won out the day here. And at first, and this kind of gets us into our next topic as well. when it came to the 12-day wars, we'll call it, I was a little hopeful at first because I'm like, oh, he didn't immediately strike Iran. So this must mean that Trump has a little bit more leeway here. And then as soon as he struck Iran, I'm like, no, I'm sorry. That one's out the window. Yeah, I kept calling him you know, Netanyahu's favorite goy because that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, so when he didn't initially strike Iran, I knew it was because he was just trying to get in position. They were basically doing reconnaissance to figure out, like, yo, can we even get away with this? What would be the damage? Would Iran retaliate? Like, I also think he wanted to see, like, come on, hold up really quick. Oh, I also think that there was a concerted effort by Netanyahu to let Israel be struck the way that it was so that they could then feign victim and then retaliate. And then everybody would forget that the initial attack was because they claimed that Iran had nuclear weapons that they never had. And then it becomes instead about, oh, no, now we're responding because we're victims, because that's like what the fuck Israel does. So there's that. But I think there was a reconnaissance thing. I think there was that. And I think that there was like this strategic aspect where they were like, yo, because I firmly, to this day, as a person who was in the military, as a person who still has a bunch of military friends, as a person who studied history, like, I just know that the U.S. and Israel both know they cannot beat Iran. And I don't give a shit who's trying to convince y'all otherwise. If we think we can win, we just go and we take shit. That's what we do. Even when we don't actually win, right? We thought we could win in Afghanistan. We just went there. We thought we can win in Iraq. We just went there. Even in Syria, we had been there even before people thought that we hadn't been there. Where we think we can infiltrate, attack, kill without accountability in the case of a lot of places like Iraq, Libya, since.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The 90s, Congo, Sudan, Somalia. I mean, the list literally goes on. Okay, so do that in Iran. They won't do it because if they push Iran too far, they know that's their act. Iraq tried it and they did it with our funding. Everybody forgets that in the 90s, Iraq attacked Iran over Kuwait, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, look how that turned out. Look how that turned out. Like, Iraq got their asses handed to them. Mm-hmm. They got like Saddam, like, oh shit, how the hell did we fall for this shit? Like, yeah, we were just actually trying to see how strong they are. And thank you for the information. Yeah, so we're going to leave that alone for now. We're going to put that over to the side. This Iran project, we're going to revisit this later day. Yeah, they revisited it. How does it look? They're like, okay, well, let's try overthrow Gaddafi. Okay, that worked. Saddam, okay, that worked. Let's try this Iran thing. We're looking at this landscape. Anybody got any real intel on Iran yet? Like, real shit that we can use? Yeah, nope, still not. So we're just going to put that off to the side again. And Israel, now what Israel is hoping is that, like, if they attack Iran and push Iran far enough, which is what I think they wanted to do this time, they thought it was going to happen, like, the U.S. will become fully invested and not have a choice. But I don't know if I explained to you my theory that, like, part of that is because Israel, there is no greater Israel project as long as the U.S. is still the most powerful military and economy on the planet. And there also is no greater Israel project if Iran can stop it from happening. So what do? You have them destroy each other on your behalf. Israel's goal has always been, people forget, like, the U.S. was the slickest thing that the U.S. did was have the EU and all these institutions that ultimately only existed because the U.S. built them or advocated for them, is carry out the United States dirty work while literally reaping all the benefits. And then we get to 2022, 2023, and the U.S. can veto it the fuck they want to, seize your money when the fuck they feel like it, bully you in a taking another country over or occupying another country. Like, even whenever they're like, yeah, y'all can't go to Iraq, we're like, yeah, we're going to do that shit anyway, and y'all going to come help. okay, I guess. Like, and the EU was like, and even the, bro, the concept of the EU really only exists because the US needed Europe to start taking those Eastern European countries after they were Balkanized so that they would not reunite under Russia. Like, that was what that was really about. Everything, and guess who ultimately reaped all of the benefits of that? The US. So think about that in the context of Israel. They're doing the exact same thing. Like, we're going to have everybody believe that, like, these, all these wars, because really they know corporate interests run the country and in the majority of countries. And so we're going to have the corporations convince these politicians that these wars are going to benefit them, benefit the country, at least it's going to benefit the corporation. The corporations are paying the politicians, so that's good enough for us. But at the end of the day, these motherfuckers are so busy counting their shekels, they don't realize that Israel is actively, like, bro, if we're allies, why do you need to spy on me? Why do you need to spy on me? Why are you what Matt Gaetz said during that interview, I believe, with Glenn Greenwald? Like, why do you have people going in my room during a trip when you think I'm out in a session or a meeting and you're trying to find something like to pin on me? That's not how I treat my friends.
No.
And once again, like, do y'all do that with Israel? Like, literally, is literal Israeli politicians? No. No, they do not. So if we're allies, why do you go through such concerted efforts to bully me into helping you? Because at the end of the day, there is some no one will really admit it. None of the U.S. politicians will admit it. But there is something that they know. They are at least somewhat aware, like, Israel does not have the U.S.'s best interests involved, but it's better to shut up. Because they could JFK your ass. They could RFK your ass. And some people argue MLK even. Mm-hmm. And or if you're, you know, if you want to go, the, you know, maybe the best case scenario, they can Cynthia McKinney your ass out of office, redistrict you. Not so that you could, like, you don't get taken out of office because you lost. You get taken out of office because we just literally made it so that you couldn't run. We'll just get rid of your district. Like, I mean, look at, bro, we still, this Thomas Massie situation with his wife. Like, I'm convinced that the scientist killed his wife. I'm convinced.
It's so amazing to me that Thomas Massie was one of the only people in the Republican Party saying, like, hey, why doesn't Trump do like what he ran on? And everybody's like, oh no, fuck that guy. Like, how dare you hold up the big, beautiful bill? He's saying, like, why don't we like codify the Doge cuts, you know, sign into law mass deportations, cut spending. And they're like, oh no, you're an asshole.
Yeah. It's like, he's like, I'm just literally asking him to do what he said he was going to do. I didn't know that this would be so controversial. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I was like, well, I'm like, hold on. Is he just because my thing was, and it was like a moderated version of the Thomas Massie that we've known over the last few years. He's like, yeah, hey, Trump, man, like, can you just like do what you promise? They're like, how fucking dare you ask him to keep the promises he ran on? You know how this shit works. It's a cult. You don't ask cult leader to keep the promises that he made to his cult. You drink the fucking Kool-Aid and you shut the fuck up. That's how it goes. And yeah, I'm like, exactly, this is we doing this to Thomas Mass. Because, bro, Thomas Mass is my favorite politician in Washington. I'm a leftist. Like, Thomas is, and it's not even close, actually.
Yeah.
It's a, like, this man is a, he's actually a genius outside of politics. Like, he's an engineer, bro. He's like super pro environment. He it's hard to find somebody that damn consistent. And then, like, after his wife is gone, and he was very, very close to his wife from everything I've read. And he's still like, yeah, but fuck those Zionists. That's what we wanted from RFK. Cause like, we all knew, like, if you're gonna run on this stuff that you run on RFK, you talking about the CIA, you talking about RFK Jr. and me. If you're talking about the CIA, you're talking about calling out the intelligence community, you're talking about calling out Big Pharma. Like, you think that they're gonna let that shit slide? No, you gotta be brave. Like, you have to understand there are consequences that come with courage. Like, there are consequences. And Thomas Massie is courageous. He obviously has known about these consequences. He talks about openly what happens whenever you get elected as a congressman and how the Israeli lobby tries to influence you. He lost his wife And instead of backing down, he doubled down. Mm-hmm. And you got MAGA people that just started attacking him for it. I'm like, wow. So y'all have really been castrated. That's wild to see.
It's so amazing to me because there are so many people that I'll argue with that are like, oh, he doesn't get anything done. I'm like, well, like, so either he doesn't get anything done or he's holding up all the great stuff, great quote unquote stuff that Trump wants to do. Like, you guys have to pick one. Either he doesn't get anything done or like, or he's obstructing everything. Like, these two positions don't make sense. And like, you guys really want to throw out the one dude who says, yeah, I don't take foreign lobbying, and like, I actually am worried about like the purchasing power of our dollar. I look at my daughter, I look at my future, and I'm like, you know, if we're piling up all this debt and fighting all these wars, I think it's nice to have somebody on our side who's saying like, we shouldn't do that. But like, MAGA people are like, oh, no. The one guy who's saying we should have Trump do what he said he was going to do. I can't keep these things straight in my head. It's so like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
It's mind boggling. It's like, bro, there's so much stuff that happens, but we wouldn't even know it was happening if Tom Massey didn't talk about it. And that in and of itself is valuable. And like, you're like, oh man, he didn't get anything done. So my question is, why the hell aren't y'all pissed that the good things that he tries to get passed are not being supported by the president that y'all said was going to help him pass some of the things that he said that he's trying to advocate for? Why aren't you going after the Republican Party? Like the situation in Missouri where paid sick leave was passed by Republicans in a Republican state. And the Republican legislature of that state overturned it after the Republican governor signed it. And of course, Republicans are going to talk about it. Cause why? Paid sick leave means like y'all can just, you know, get sick and you actually are entitled to stay home and not worry about starving, which is like, when you really think about that, bro, like, it's insane. Cause like, a lot of these people want paid sick leave because this is Missouri, right? So there's like a lot of fast food workers that they're not entitled to breaks, for, by the way, in Missouri, like, which is insane to me. But okay, so you want a bunch of fast food workers going to work because they're, while they're sick, because they can't afford to miss work, coughing all of the old motherfucking food, like getting everybody else sick. How does that make any godly sense, people? Mm-hmm. And like, so like, all of a sudden, at a certain point, when we talk about policies, we got to stop thinking about policies as being leftist or conservative or libertarian. Like, bro, does the policy make fucking sense? And also, was it the will of the people?
Right.
And if those two things, and like in Portuguese, we say bate certo, like if those two things match, and nothing to let it, then let it be. Let democracy be. That's how I feel about those type of things. And Thomas Massey is one of those people who's like, let's just let democracy be. Can we advocate for democracy? And whenever somebody is not allowing democracy to take place, can we call them out for it? I feel like that's a pretty commonsensical, very basic policy stance. Like, his ideology is not complicated. Thomas Massey is actually one of the least complicated people I've ever seen. And it's extremely refreshing because I feel like that's what we, what I thought Tulsi was going to be for the longest. That's the persona that she put up for the longest. It's like, oh yeah, she threw that shit the fuck out the moment she became DNI, which I kind of expected at this point. And it's like, I thought that she was going to be one of those people who came out and advocated more for Thomas Massey. Did not. RFK Jr. has gone fucking radio silent, and all of a sudden, and anytime he does finally talk, he's somehow kissing Zion's dick. And I'm like, what did you have to do with this?
The whole Make America Healthy Again grift. Like, I was kind of grateful for it because I'm a big exercise enthusiast, right? I mean, like, changing my diet and stuff like that really honestly changed my life. So when I hear people talking about health stuff, I'm like, oh, this is great. But now it's like, oh, well, we're going to change up the oils that we're cooking food. And it's like, all right, well, that's fucking useless. We're going to take out the two drops of food dye that you put in your gummy bears. Okay, well, that's fucking useless. All the vaccines and stuff, like, we're not going to do any research on that. All right, well, that's fucking useless. And then, of course, one of the first things that RFK has to say as soon as he gets elected in, anti-Semitism is a real problem. I'm like,
Wait, what
the fuck are we doing? Like, we're patting ourselves on the back because now instead of cooking fries in canola oil, we're cooking them in butter. Do they taste better? Sure. Are they healthy for you? I could dive into endless data on this. No, they're not. But like, we're talking about like moving chairs on the Titanic here. That's literally what that is. if you're eating Steak and Shake daily, I'm sorry, you got bigger problems than what the fuck the food's fried in. Like,
hey, on God, what's even crazier about that is like fast food is bad for you in and of itself. And it's like somehow, despite the fact that it was horrible for you before, it's actually getting progressively worse. It is actually worse for you than it was before. It was already shit. And it's even shittier. And instead of addressing that issue, addressing the fact that like companies can legally just withhold information about the chemicals they put in the foods, like things like that. Now let's talk about anti-Semitism. Damn, bro, I didn't know that anti-Semitism was what's giving everybody fucking cancer. Like, what? What are we talking about, dog? Like, bro, you know what's crazy? So in Brazil, when I moved here, really, they all of a sudden started this really big vaccine push. And I was talking to my wife, because when you have a kid, you know, vaccine is like a big discussion. And because you got to really pick and choose, like, when you want to do it, the vaccine schedule, there's a lot of pressure that gets put on you as a parent. And first of all, I don't like having any pressure put on me. So that shit went out the window. I'm like, yo, I'll get my goddamn son vaccinated how I want to, when I want to, because he goes to a private school too. Well, they're both going to private schools. Or he'll be at a private daycare. So like, I don't even have to actually get him vaccinated to the public standard. It's just their standard. And they have a different schedule. So I'm like, babe, I'm not gonna lie to you. This shit's kind of weird. She's like, what? I was like, why are they pushing for vaccines so often here? And she's like, actually, I don't know, because this is new. She told me. I'm like, yeah, like in this whole drop thing, like doing the polio vaccine through the drops instead of the shot. I said, yeah, that is new in our country. So like, why is that happening here? And she's like, I don't know. That's new. Cause they kept telling us, your son has to get the polio vaccine. Your son has to get the polio vaccine. I said, bitch, my son ain't about to get polio. And he ain't got it yet. And he's in the house all day. We don't take him to daycare, especially at that moment, because we were both in the house. I'm like, he good. He's all right. He don't need it. Like, and I said, also, maybe when y'all go back to actually giving a shot, I'll consider it. Because this, I'm not about to give my son your experimental drug. I'm sorry. So I said, babe, I'm not going to lie to you. I feel a little bit uncomfortable giving him these vaccines at the moment because I feel like they're getting them from America. Like they're just subsidiaries of American pharmaceutical companies, and that's why they're selling these drugs, because they're trying to get recoup on their investment. Turns out that motherfucking polio vaccine had to get taken off the market.
Oh,
yeah, this happened this past year, and like literally, as like she was kind of like, well, they keep telling me we have to get it, because she felt pressured because the doctors kept pushing her, and she was like, well, can you call me next time, because like they keep. I was like, shit, hell no. I'll go. I'll tell him right in their fucking face. No, he's not getting it. He's not taking that. Like, if you can't give him the shot, at least, you can't even offer me that. You're damn sure not about to give my son an experimental fucking vaccine. Because it got taken off the market because it was giving people the symptoms of polio. Yeah. So then I go and do my research after that, find out that almost all the new vaccines that they're pushing are from American pharmaceutical companies. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's what's happening. So at that point, now my wife was like, shit, I didn't even think. I said, I know. I said, because why would you think about that? Your government wasn't really being actively influenced by the U.S. pharmaceutical industry up to this point, because their medicine is way better than ours. There's this medicine called Prolone that used to be sold in the U.S., right? But the reason why they took it off the market in the U.S., because it was bad, is because that shit is too good. It's a painkiller anti-inflammatory, Kyle. It's a painkiller So in other words, like you got ibuprofen, and then you got what's the other one that the anti-inflammatory that's popular?
Acetaminophen, I think it is.
Yeah, well, I think it's aspirin anti. Is it like the one that's like you can just buy over the counter?
Ibuprofen, acetaminophen.
Is
it Advil? No.
I can't remember, because like I said, they always say to take both of them, and then like you got to take it with food because it's like
Tylenol. Is that it?
Tylenol. There you go. So you all got to take one. So this So with Torsilax, which is another painkiller, you don't actually have to take it with food because it doesn't destroy your stomach lining. Like, cause like, that's not, it's kind of like unrealistic to expect somebody, like if you're at work and you don't have a time to eat, like, and I'm in pain, like, bitch, I can't just stop and eat. Like, I'm in pain right now. And Prolone, they offer it in different, different dosages. And I remember the first time I took this son of a bitch, I had a bad shoulder cause I had shoulder surgery. It got dislocated. Cops bust my ass a couple of times. So that happened. Like, my shoulder's been through hell. So sometimes it would just flare up and it was a constant problem to the point I even stopped doing my show as much because if I would sit for too long, my shoulder and my neck would start hurting. Mom was like, oh, well, just take Prolone. I'm like, what? Why would that work? She's like, I'm like, is it like I gotta go to the doctor? She's like, no, just go to the store and buy it. I'm like, what is it? She's like, it's an anti-inflammatory. So I said, well, no, because then I'll have to take it with it. She's like, no, it's a painkiller too. I was like, what the? No. That's not how this works, right? Like, I'm like, there's no way that you're selling an anti-inflammatory painkiller. She's like, yeah. She's like, it's a little bit more expensive. She means by Brazilian standards, it's like 35 AIs or something like that for the regular one, which is like the equivalent of $7 or $6. Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah. Give me about 8 fucking boxes of them hoes.
We're stocking up.
Yeah, bro. So she's like, yeah, bro, I took 2 and I didn't have to take another one for like 3 weeks. Yeah. I said, nice. I brought like, bro, that shit worked so well. When I tell you, I came back home with like 30 packages of that and Torsilax. I swear to God, I was giving out to my family, though. I'm like, hey, y'all, hey, take them shits. Take them. Yeah. Take them. They're like, yo. Like, bro, they couldn't believe it, dog. My best friend's dad had a toothache. He was like waiting to go get, oh no, he had just got his tooth taken out or something like that. And the medicine that they gave him was not working. I was like, bro, go ahead and pop on his Torsilax. He took one. I asked him about it. And he's like, fuck, I forgot I took that shit. Cause he wasn't in pain. Like, he just forgot. And I was like, I told you, dog. So that's what happens whenever your pharmaceutical industry hasn't been kidnapped by the US. But more and more, we're actually unfortunately seeing some elements of Brazil's pharmaceutical industry and other industries even, being overtaken by the US corporate industry, you know, by hook or by crook. And I know when it's happening because I lived in the US long enough, right? I've lived here long enough to seem like, this is different. Even my wife like will say, maybe she's like, wow, I've actually never seen so many frozen food before. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? Cause I was like, what? Like, she's like, yeah, no, these, like, you could see, bro, these freezers in these supermarkets are new. Cause they never had to, you get what I'm saying? Like, you know, at Walmart, bitch, there's a whole, I'm like, y'all don't have like a frozen food section? She's like, what the fuck is a frozen food section? Like when I first got here, bro, she was like, what's a frozen food section? Then all of a sudden you see like a little row like frozen. She's like, what the hell? I've never seen these before. Mm. I was like, for real? She's like, nah. Like you see like a refrigerator, but not like a bunch of frozen food. I was like, yeah, that's what happens when you get American.
They got that shit at the gas station.
No, bro, yeah, for ice cream. That was it. I'm dead serious. Like it was literally ice cream that they are not accustomed to having just entire sections of frozen processed foods. That is a recent phenomenon. And it's like, bro, we got a Sam's Club here now.
Oh.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. That's just a little bit convenient. I ain't gonna lie. It's a little convenient. Oh, yeah. The Waldens are evil, but it is convenient because there's some stuff like literally some stuff that I actually need, like that's American stuff. Yeah. That they sell, and so that's why it's convenient to that. So it's like, so yeah, but like when we got there, bro, she was like, holy shit, there are like 8 rolls of frozen goddamn food here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, that's America. She couldn't believe it. She's like, this is crazy. Like, why don't they just eat, like, just cook the food? Just cook. I said, oh, you got time to cook and live, you got to pick one. Right.
Oh yeah, dude, listen, I like try to explain people my schedule sometimes. They look at me like I'm nuts. I'm like, okay, so up at about 4 to 4:30 every morning, I cook breakfast, I try to take my dogs for a walk, and then get a shower, usually shave my head or something like that, and then I leave for work by about 6:15. It's about a 40-minute drive to and from work, so 40 minutes there, work from 7 to 3:45, come home, if I get a chance, go work out. and then usually do a podcast from 6 to 7 on Wednesday nights, band practice Tuesday nights, and then usually hopefully get to bed by about like 8 or 9 p.m. to wake up and do it all over again. That's like daily. Now that I have a kid, it's like, okay, well, you know, throwing the ball in the rotation there.
Yeah. No, that was like kind of how my schedule was before I started doing my show full time. Like I would get up about 4:35, same thing, walk my dog, get ready for work. I was about 45-minute drive to work. And like the cooking was like honestly the most inconvenient thing. I did it when I couldn't. I tried to eat it, you know, buy food as healthy as possible, but also healthy food's fucking expensive. It did get to a point where I felt like I was like, bro, am I just working just to eat?
Well, especially when you get like you try to get takeout that's healthy, impossible. Bro. Anything that's higher in protein and like cleaner, you're paying sometimes like double the price for anything. Exactly.
Bro, I'm like, why is Panera Bread a whole goddamn bill? Like, bro, I just wanted some simple ass shit. And it'd be, I'm like, yo, this salad is so good. How much did I pay? Oh my God. I don't even like salad anymore. I'll be fat. Like, that's how you feel. But like, in Brazil, what's interesting is actually cheaper to eat healthy. Mm. Processed food is actually more expensive here.
Yeah.
So it's like basically you're actually paying for the convenience of processed food here, whereas in the U.S., it's almost an incentive for you to buy processed food because it's cheaper and more convenient. So one of the things, and I'm very, very fortunate because I have a wife who actually like loves to cook. My kids are spoiled rotten. They eat three full fucking cooked meals a day, bro. Three cooked whole ass. I said, this is insane. Because for me, bro, if I got to eat when I was a kid, like that was like a big deal. When my mom cooked, it was even a bigger deal because it meant we had food and she had time, which is like, whoa. So like when we smell some shit cooking in the kitchen, we got really excited. I'm talking about my house does not have a time of day where there is not food. And this ain't no like, oh, I'm just going to whip some shit together type food, bro. She be cooking whole ass 3-course meals. Mm. I'm talking like, I said, yo, babe, how do you have, she used to do this for my oldest son, even whenever it was just those two. She would wake up, cook dinner, or cook breakfast, also make his lunch to get to the babysitter, and then come home and cook dinner. And she was like, yeah, it's just like, it's normal. Because, yeah. You know, like, there is a factor of like, yeah, well, they didn't have the processed food, so it was like, you just kind of accept it for what it is. Yeah. It's actually cheaper to buy the food and cook it. Mm-hmm. There was that, right? You're not going, bro, McDonald's here? That's a family night out. If you have a 4-person family and you go to McDonald's and everybody gets a meal, like if everybody gets like the most basic shit, you probably gonna leave spending almost 200 reais. So that's like, and that's a bill for them. That's a bill. My water bill is like 60 reais. So yeah. Nah. Like when I got a $200 or 200 reais water bill, I flip the fuck out. Like that's how expensive that shit is. Yeah, no, because it shouldn't be like that. So like that's like, oh man, you know, we just got paid, family wants to go out. That's what they go to McDonald's to eat out, bro. Like the first time I went to Outback is the American equivalent of like, so they're not reducing the price on shit. So when we went to Outback, I went with my wife and my son the first time. And I'm not really I'm not thinking like, oh yeah, we're going to go to Outback in Brazil. I'm just thinking we're out Outback. I already know more or less how much I'm about to spend. Bro, when the bill came, they asked me because it's so crazy and outrageous, like the price really for one person to pay. They're like, are you going to like split this up? Like how many times do you want to pay for this? Like, I'm like, what do you mean? They call it parcelado, which is like, you're gonna pay it over the time of 10 months, or I'm like, no, I'm paying for the shit right now. What are you talking about? Yeah. How much is it? It was like 700 reais, which is like $115. But this is like, we got a meal. Yeah. We got what you do when you know, like it's Outback shit. Like, I got 2-3 margaritas. My wife got some at that point. You know, it's Outback shit. You went to Outback, spend like $115. It is what it is. That's how much I would spend if I was in the States. Bro, they looking at me like I was out of my damn mind. They said, you were about to pay for all this shit right now. I'm like, yeah, it's Outback. But it's because that type of stuff, like, people don't go by themselves. Like, well, but they go to split checks. They go to split a check. They are going for the convenience, and they're aware they're going to pay for the convenience. And like any other, like, but the 30 out of 31 days or 29 out of 30 days out of a month, they are cooking in the house. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring their food from home. And honestly, to be frank, like, my wife be thinking I'm joking at times, but I'm like, I prefer her food. Like, whenever we were in our moving process, bro, like, I had to order a lot of food out because we're like packing up pans and shit like that. Dog, yeah. I'm like, hey, I just want some home cooked goddamn food. Like, I'm tired of eating this food. I'm like, it's good. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. We ordered some good food, but like, I want my own good food. I want my meals. I need my meals now. I'm spoiled now.
Yeah.
And it's healthier. Yep. And like, I felt my energy draining, like, whenever we were eating out too much. You know, like, for real, like, my son was kind of like low energy, kind of got a little pot belly coming out, because he was, even though he was like eating steak, it's like processed steak and food versus her steak and food, processed seasoning versus her stuff. And so I like noticed that, like, bro, I'm like, yo, this is a big ass. I really forgot how much different you feel when you're eating home cooked food versus processed food. So it's really important for people to understand, like, that MAHA movement inspires so many people, because like, we understand, like, little nuances like that can make a big difference to how you can live your life.
Right.
Like, if you didn't eat healthy and work out, like, would you even have the energy to keep up with the shit that you do? Probably not.
No.
Right. Like, I complained about working out, bitching about working out today. I was like, man, I gotta go fucking work out. Like, but I also know, like, yeah, but if I don't work out today, I'm not gonna have energy tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're not gonna work.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I said, I'm glad to hear that people are at least talking about it, but it's just like, we're not doing anything. Like, we need to educate people. Like, hey, this is what a better diet looks like. Hey, you should cook your own food, so that way you kind of know what you're consuming. You're not just going out to a restaurant and hoping that, you know, their nutrition labels are right, which they never are. You're in control of what you're putting in front of you, but instead, like I said, we're just getting like these little virtue signals, which is just like this. It really does, in my mind, at least, epitomize the Trump administration. It's just like these constant rhetorical victories rather than actually like moving the needle on anything.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. At this point, I would literally set up for just moving a fucking needle. Like, can we just move a needle? Like, and it's like rhetorical victories, and they're not even really rhetorical, because it's like, okay, we're combating. If you were serious about combating crime, why did you just stop in DC? Why are you only mentioning DC? Like, if you're like, oh man, we want to control immigration because of crime rates and things like that, why are you going up to people? Why are you running up in people's jobs? Like, these are not the immigrants you need to worry about. These are people who got hired. They have a good track record with their employer. They're paying their taxes probably, and they're paying their bills. Like, these are people contributing to the economy in society. Like, why don't you go after the cartels that living right under your nose? Things like that. It's like, you went after them because they're doing, like, outside of obviously, like, maybe overstaying a visa, they're doing everything right. That's how you were able to find them.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You get exactly. It's like, all the things that you're claiming in these fucking
interviews, you were easy pickings.
You're doing the opposite, and that's how you're able to find them.
Which, they were easy pickings.
People to not do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, even rhetorical victories aren't even really victories. Like, yeah. I'm not against fighting crime, people. I'm really not. I don't really like cops. I'm not gonna lie, but it's because, like, most cops aren't, like, they be just as guilty as committing crimes as criminals. Mm-hmm. So, like, I know that sounds kind of cliche to say, but like, okay, we really gonna talk about all the fucking crime that's being committed in DC. Like, bro, you can literally just start in the Capitol. You can literally just start in Congress. I mean, the shit that we be finding out that these congressmen would be doing sometimes, like laundering money, you know, insider trading. I mean, all kinds of stuff, bro. Like, even some of the stuff that they do for the Israeli lobby, some of it's legal. A lot of that shit ain't. A lot of the shit they be doing would be backdoor stuff. So, like, I mean, human trafficking is at an all-time high. We don't talk about that enough. We don't address it. We don't address the fact that it, for some reason, keeps increasing steadily every year. And generally speaking, For example, the drug war in the 80s and the 90s, the reason that it was like the drug problems getting worse every year was because we eventually learned that the government was actively contributing to that. Now, following that same logic, when we look at human trafficking and the government refused to talk about it, some people even pretend like it's a conspiracy theory when we're like, no, this is actually happening. All of a sudden, like, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to address it. We're going to pretend like it's not happening, despite the statistics showing otherwise, which should be a big ass fucking red flag. And honestly, Trump talked about human trafficking his first term. All of a sudden, now Epstein and all that shit is a conspiracy theory for the Democrats. Bro, it's a huge. If I was a MAGA supporter, especially knowing that Trump can't be held accountable next term, because there is no next term, I'll be pissed. I will be livid. Because you can't get your money back on this one.
Yeah. What fell for it again, Ward, or it's so funny when people say I didn't vote for this, and I'm like, bro, you were just telling me last year that people who voted Democrat deserve to get punched in the face by immigrants. And now Trump's doing stuff you don't like. You're like, oh, no, I didn't vote for this. I'm like, man, if you didn't say that literally 10 months ago, I'd be fine with it. But you're saying, oh, yeah, if you vote Democrat, you deserve to get like stabbed by some brown person. But like now all of a sudden Trump's arming Ukraine and then, you know, bombing Iran. You're like, oh, no, I didn't vote for this. Sorry, so homie, you voted for it.
You did vote for it. You did. Like, the signs were there. Because my thing was, like, okay, some people could argue that Biden or Trump was going to win regardless. And I would say, cool, not with my motherfucking vote. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, okay, cool. Like, it's going to be a race to the bottom. That's what it should have been. Right? But there were people who believed, and Trump masterfully used Tulsi, use RFK Jr. to galvanize supporters that maybe he otherwise wouldn't have gotten. But RFK dropping out legitimately helped Trump win some states. Mm-hmm. Like it was a big deal, right? And like at the end of the day, I can turn when people be like, "Well, what would you have done? Not vote for this shit? Literally anything else?"
Yeah.
Like, hey, yeah. Well, and then people will say, well, some people, Democrats will come out and be like, you should have voted Democrat. Yeah, I'm going to vote for the people who were literally responsible for the genocide. Like, okay, literally the Democrats were responsible for the demolition side of Gaza. And y'all want me to be upset because now Trump is putting the parking lot in? Like, basically, no, like I shouldn't have voted for them either. And nor should I vote for anybody who was complicit in that shit. I'm sorry. Like well, what did you say? But there's so many other options. There's mutual aid, which is probably the best way to help anybody. That's like what I call personal responsibility. Cause like in my definition of personal responsibility, I feel like serving our communities because like this is where we live, right? If I have a problem with the community that my kids are being raised in, is it not my personal responsibility to help do something about that? Right?
Right.
And instead of being like, hey, police, go solve my problem. Hey, Trump, come here and solve my problem. Now, don't make my fucking problems worse. I do expect that. Like, don't make them worse. But at the end of the day, I feel like we should be actively involved in our communities. Mutual aid is part of that. And like, that's a direct way we can actually influence the community, make sure our money is being spent where we want it to be spent at, on the people we want it to be spent on. Versus saying raise Elon Musk taxes and just hope that shit falls in place.
Yeah, you told me which one fills up faster.
You get what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah, let me give the money that Elon Musk got from the fucking crooked ass Congress back to that crooked ass Congress and just hope that they do the right thing with the fucking money.
How? Not gonna happen.
No, that's why I'm firmly against federal taxes, bitch. I'm firm. Like, people are like, what? How can you be a leftist and against federal taxes? I'm like, how can you be a leftist and not be against federal taxes or federal income tax? Like, you know where that money's going?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so funny because, like, you consider yourself on the left in this respect, and I consider myself on the right, but, like, we're, like, the exact same space here where it's like, yeah, help your community, no federal taxes, because, once again, the money should stay close to home, right? Like, we want to help the people that we care about the most.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know you said an hour and we're way over, and I know my wife's probably ready to get a shower and I'm pulling out her hair a little bit. So, Nico, I really appreciate your time, brother. Feel free to give any closing thoughts, anything you want to tell the people, where they could find you, all that good stuff.
Hotspot on Twitter. Follow us on Hotspot. Hotspot, you know, me, my man's Nick, David. We do videos every day on Hotspot. Post up trending topics and things like that, trending videos. So you're always going to be up to date on what's going on in the world if you follow us on Hotspot. Follow me on Twitter, obviously, at Real Nico House on YouTube. My first live stream will be, since I've moved, will be tomorrow. I'm not at my studio. Got set up. Kyle's actually my very first show that I've done since moving. So, yeah, man, I was like, yeah, I got to get it popping. Sorry it took so long. Bro, shit's crazy. You know, it's crazy, man. But you know what? Hey, congratulations, dog. Super happy for you. Like I said, being a dad is the coolest shit ever, bro. Like, there be days sometimes where, like, I used to be so much more invested in my show, my politics, everything, bro. I was like 12-hour days sometimes, three, four, five videos a day. And, like, I can't do that anymore, but it's because I'm like, I just love being a dad. So, like, I just want to spend time with my kids. Like, that's, I'm not, like, bro, I love spending time with my damn kid. I love my boy. I love my wife too. Like, I love being with my family. And it's just when I was talking to my wife, I'm like, yeah, you know, like, I gotta start getting back to work again here pretty soon. Like, and I'm like apologizing to her. She's like, why are you apologizing? I'm like, because I have to, like, be in my office pretty much for 8 hours, like a normal person. You know what I'm saying? She's like, well, why are you apologizing? Like, because I can't spend time with you and the kids like I have been for, like, the last 2 or 3 weeks during the move. She's like, well, yeah, I know. That's actually, oh, that's true. Oh, that sucks. And, like, my son kind of, like, today he realized it when he got home from school. Like, I just kind of, like, left the office really quick just to say what's up and ask him what school was. Went back to my office, popped out, like, 3 hours later. He's like, Dad? What's going on? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm working.
Yeah. For me,
it's 3 o'clock, son. It's like 2 or 3 o'clock. What are you talking about? Like, for that? Yeah. Like, if I was working out there, like, I would be not home till like 7 or 8 o'clock. What are you thinking? But he's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love spending time with my kids. So being like, just when I didn't even realize, like, that I would love spending time with my kids as much as I do. When I had them, and it's just like, dog, it's one of the coolest journeys you could ever go on. If you get a chance to experience being a parent, bro, like, fuck all that bullshit you hear online. One of the things that Candace Owens is right about, even though I might disagree with her on a lot of shit, is like, being a parent is the shit. And if our society, if more members, I know they said, like, everybody shouldn't be a parent, but the problem in our society is that you have so many people that are still trying to chase their childhood, you know, because of trauma, usually, that they never grow up. Being a parent forces you to grow up. It forces you to learn how to be selfless versus just only and exclusively thinking for yourself. It teaches you how to multitask. And like we were talking about earlier, when we were talking to each other, it teaches you how to be a better adult, really.
Yeah.
And a better kid to your parents. Because now all of a sudden you have a perspective that you did not have before, because you just can't have it until you experience it. And that is the best part about being a parent. It's like, you grow up. And I know that's like kind of, once again, like a kind of a cliche thing to say, but no, it's, if you're doing it right, you have no choice. And it's a beautiful thing. So congratulations, bro. So happy for you. Beautiful daughter, beautiful family. Hey, cross my fingers for those two boys.
Well, yeah, we're definitely planning for one next. So about a year or so, and we're hopefully, you know, our little girl Riley will have a little Rex with her. So Nico, hey, always
just do it quick. You don't want to wait too long, bro. Just like, just knock it out. Just go ahead and rip the band-aid.
You know what? I keep saying, man, I wish I would have did it sooner, because now there's something I just, like, I want to call everybody an F slur on Twitter. I know I can't say it on here, but like, when I held my daughter for the first time, I was just like, oh, I don't give a fuck about anybody. That was just clicked right away.
What I care about is, like, bro, I just be like, really, my kids kind of, when I get like kind of down in the dumps, it's because of the news. It's just kind of like, you know, doing what we do is important, but it's like shitty sometimes. It can really weigh on you emotionally if you actually care about what you do. But then, like, when you see your kids, like, you're like, oh, that's why I do this shit. Because somebody needs to tell the truth, because this, I got to make this world better. My kids are here now. Like, I can't turn back time. And if the first step in making the world a better place is knowing and identifying the problem and helping explain to people what the problem is and offering solutions to those problems and hopefully uniting people, behind the truth, like the real truth, not this bullshit ass corporate media truth. And that corporate media, y'all, I know we kind of like, oh, that's corporate media. We just say it kind of flippantly, but like, no, corporate media, like hand in hand with the CIA and all the problems that have been around since before either of us have been alive, and not keeping them in check, not having a check on them, has allowed a lot of these narratives to pursue that were then used to cause a lot of the problems in the world, right? A lot of the division that we see, like we that's not a world that we have to live in. And it's important that we have people in front of a camera to say that, because believe it or not, a lot of people believe that's just like inconceivable. Like, what? We don't have to live in this shitty world? Yeah, like there's a world where Zionists aren't genocided people. I know that sounds fucking crazy to believe, but yeah, no, that's a thing. If people would have been upfront and honest about a lot of things that happened in the past, we wouldn't have to have these conversations in 2025. We're behind the curve right now. And what we're doing is important because we're trying to help the world get up to speed on what's really going on. And I feel like that's very, very valuable to this space. And like just having kids really reminds you of how important it is to tell the truth. And in this space, once again, if you're doing this right, and if you're a good parent, because you find out a lot of people who do have kids in this space, you find out that they're shitty parents later on, right? Because some news gets broken about. But like, I do my shows knowing that one day my kids are gonna watch these and be like, was my dad on the right side of history? Mm. Like,
that's a big question.
You feel me? I don't want to know. You know, Max Blumenthal is my guy. His father, Sidney Blumenthal.
Yeah.
And you know, they have a father and son relationship like any normal person. But like at the end of the day, his father, Max Blumenthal, his father is Sidney Blumenthal, and Sidney Blumenthal has to live with the fact that he knows his son knows. Yeah. As far as politics is concerned, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life, there's nothing that he can do to change that. And I don't ever want my son to be better at me, better than me, more active than me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. More honest than me when it comes to this. I'm like, bro, you got to compete with me, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to compete. You have to compete with me, dog. Sorry. If you want to put balls to the wall with the truth, come on, let's go. We can go toe-to-toe. Like, that's what I want. So I appreciate you, man.
Of course, yeah. I look at my daughter all the time like, you know, I got to be Superman. That's all there is to it. I got to be the best guy that she's ever seen. I want her future husband and boyfriend to be like, damn, I can't.
Bro, I'm telling you, that's what I tell people. People are like, you're not worried about like a boy? I'm like, no, why would I be worried about that? I'm going to be giving her literally, not like, I'm not going to be spoiling her Ryan, like, but like the example that she had, my sister literally will call me to like on FaceTime and like, yeah, like, no, my brother is like the realest person I know. Like, he literally takes care of his family. He's a great fucking, like, me and my brother, my other brother too. She's like, yeah, no, like, tell her about this. I'm like, did you just call me on FaceTime just to brag about me to your friends? It's like, yeah, because that's why she won't settle for a boyfriend. Like, there are a lot of boys that try. My sister's like 24, 25 years. She's like, yeah, no, like, my standard is the standard that my brother set. So like, good luck, because I'm not gonna fall for that. Like, I'm not falling for it. Sorry. One dude thought because she got pregnant, that would mean, oh, now you're gonna be stuck with me. She's like, no, I don't think you understand. Like, I got pregnant by you. That does not mean I'm about to settle for you, dumbass. Like, he couldn't believe it. He's like, well, she's like, yeah, like, no, because my brother showed me, because my brother raised his son for a long time as a single parent. And did not settle just because he got his significant other guy accidentally pregnant. Like, mm-hmm. So when you're a strong father figure and you are, because that's basically what I was for my sister being 10 years apart. Like, I don't have to be restrictive for my daughter. You got to compete with me, motherfucker. Good luck.
All right. Nico, always a pleasure, brother. I appreciate your time bro. Man.
Appreciate you, man.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.